with his mother by their side. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and so glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Hey, we're trying something just a little bit different technology-wise here during the broadcast today. And so the folks listening out there on sermonaudio.com or watching out there on the live feed on sermonaudio.com, you may be experiencing, we may turn some things off and put some things on. And so we're hoping to get this going. I don't think it's going to take as long or be as involved as the Obamacare website. I think we'll probably be able to figure out the glitches. There's the word for this this season, I think it is, the glitches. We'll be able to get the glitches out here before Kathleen Sebelius can say Obamacare. And so we'll see how that works out. We're going to talk today with Daniel James Devine from World Magazine about an article that he wrote about the idea of some ministry leaders who are getting involved in playing poker. Specifically, the article was entitled Bluffing, I think. And on in this article, it talks about the idea that Moody Board Chairman and top author Jerry B. Jenkins is among Christians who have taken up tournament poker. Is evangelical opposition about to fold, is the question that he asked. You know, what do we think about this whole idea? Here is a somebody who's on board at Moody, you know, of course, involved in their school and deeply involved or well-known in evangelical circles. And now here he is advocating the idea of playing poker and, you know, that it's no big deal that they're out there playing poker. He's playing poker. I think he was also talked about the fact that James McDonald has also played some poker with him. The two of them took a trip to Las Vegas, specifically to gamble in Las Vegas. So he makes no bones about it that this is what he's been involved in. Now, remember, Jerry Jenkins has also been involved with writing some several children adventure series. He's also helped out Billy Graham. He's helped out Bill Gaither, Luis Palau, write their autobiographies. Here he is involved with. He's the former vice president of publishing at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and he's now actually one of the volunteer as a chairman of the school's board of trustees. And so, you know, very influential, of course. I don't agree with his theology about the whole Left Behind series. I did a broadcast on that just recently, and you can go out and see what I had to say about that issue. But nevertheless, influential in evangelical circles, and now we find out that he's advocating basically the playing of poker as being something that people should be involved in. So we got to think, you know, how do we look at this issue? Well, I think one of the ways, let's first bring Daniel Devine into the broadcast today in order to get him to bring us up to speed about exactly what he wrote concerning this particular article. Hey, Daniel, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Hey, Kevin, good to be back.
Well, take our listeners through your article, if you would, please, explaining to them exactly what's going on here in this story.
Yeah, well, as you said, Jerry Jenkins is one of America's best-known Christian authors, written 180 books, sold 70 million copies of those books, including the Left Behind series, and he helped Billy Graham write his autobiography. And almost by accident, we discovered that Jerry Jenkins' name was on a an online list of poker tournament players.
Hmm.
And this is a it's called I believe the name of it was a Global Poker Index, and this lists poker players who have played in tournaments at casinos who have walked away with winnings. And so under Jenkins' name, it showed that he had won $8,065, to be precise, at two different casinos. And so we called him up and asked him if that profile was indeed of him and whether it was accurate, and he said, yes, it was.
Hmm.
And it was, of course, surprising to us that a very prominent evangelical would be playing tournament poker, and some of these buy-ins were for as much as $1,500. At least the ones that were listed that we saw.
A buy-in being able to sit at the table.
Right. I mean, so that's if you want to play in a tournament, you have to buy at least that amount of chips in order mm-hmm. to get on the table. Now you might walk away with more, or you might walk away with nothing, depending on how well you play.
Mm-hmm.
But buy-ins of up to $1,500 and. Secondly, the timing of it was kind of odd because, as you mentioned, Jenkins is the chairman of the Board of Trustees at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
which is not too far away from where I'm based. And in August, the school changed its employee policy to allow employees to be able to gamble, use tobacco products, or use alcohol.
Hmm.
As long as they're off duty.
Mm-hmm.
And before, employees had not been able to do any of those things either on the job or in private.
Hmm.
Now Jenkins, as a trustee, was not required to follow the employee guidelines, so we do have to make that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, all the students there were not allowed to do those three things. So
I see.
Yep.
Now, can I conclude then from, a couple of things? Did you break this story?
As far as we can tell, yeah. One of the things that Jenkins mentioned was that he does not hide his identity when he plays.
Right.
And so people know him where he goes. The casino he goes to in Colorado, his son is actually a dealer there.
Mm.
So people know him. They know he's an author. He signs books and gives them away. On the other hand, it sounds like that more broadly in the sense of media. A lot of people don't know that Jenkins has played tournament poker.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, yeah, we did break the story.
Yeah, it seems to be two different messages there, because part of your article then quotes him as saying that, well, I don't play close to Chicago because that's too close, so I play in Colorado. Well, why? Why, if there's nothing wrong with it, then why not play wherever you want to play? And if he doesn't care that people know about it, he wasn't advertising the fact, apparently, and, since it was discovered that he was playing, now he's saying, well, a lot of people know that I play. People even know my son is working there. Are we hearing two different sides of this, being played here?
Yeah, the thing that he mentioned with, playing near Chicago is that it's close to Moody Bible Institute, and, he didn't want to create a problem for them, if it became that known. I mean, on the other hand, though, this poker profile of him was online and it was publicly available, and we just happened to be the ones who really noticed it. The issue with Jenkins is that as the chair of the board of trustees at Moody, he's somewhat of a public figure, and that does It leads to greater scrutiny of him just because of that particular position.
Right.
And so an issue like this, it seemed to us, needs to be something that we have a public conversation about sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
Later being when, perhaps a secular publication could actually find out and make issue of it.
Mm. And the implication, I think, that you were making there when you said that the timing of it is a little bit suspect, where we see that, you know, they just changed this standard that they had at Moody Bible Institute at the same time that we're finding out that Jenkins is involved in this type of activity. So we don't know for sure if there's any connection there, but it certainly seems just suspicious that this was changed at the same time. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's a good assessment. Yeah, Moody says that none of the board members' personal views had anything to do with the you know, the policy change.
Mm-hmm.
But given that the, you know, the board members were the ones who made the change,
yeah.
you have to wonder how could their personal views not have some influence, but we'll take their word for it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I do want to clarify too, you'd mentioned James McDonald, who has Jenkins has played with him in the past, and McDonald no longer plays, but I do not know if they have actually traveled to Las Vegas together to play.
Okay.
I just know that they have played together. I don't know whether it was in public or private.
Yeah, I think I read that on another site maybe, that they had admitted that they specifically had, and I'll need to find that to verify it. You're right. But it seemed to be that they had mentioned that they had specifically flown to Las Vegas specifically to gamble in Las Vegas as well. And again, these are just elements of it. Another part of this, then, there's a number of pieces here, right? There is, should a Christian be gambling at all? Is poker gambling? You know, he tries to go to lengths here in your article to say, well, I don't gamble, Jenkins says. In other words, in his mind, he's saying, I don't play the slots, which he considers to be gambling, you know, and doing these types of activities, but I play poker, and poker is a game of skill. Therefore, it is not gambling in the same category. So tell us a little bit of what he says along that line.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting topic for that reason, because he is arguing that it's not gambling. And, I mean, with this story, we didn't want it to be a gotcha story, you know,
right,
for Jerry Jenkins. He's a great guy. I like him, and I'm not trying to tear him down.
Right.
But it's such an interesting argument that he's bringing up that we wanted to ask the larger question of, does this indicate a trend in evangelicalism,
mm-hmm,
to say, well, hey, poker is a freedom issue, or even gambling is a freedom issue? So Jenkins makes the argument that poker is not gambling because it's a game of skill.
Mm-hmm.
There's some truth to that. It is a game of skill, except that the cards are dealt randomly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some skill involved. Another question to ask is, well, if you're winning money at it, in order for you to win money, somebody else has to lose money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one objection that comes to our minds, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of Jenkins' points that he makes in his defense is that he's a very wealthy person because of his books and the Left Behind series. He's become pretty well off because of that. No problem there. But he says that the amounts of money that he spends might seem like a lot to us, $8,000, but for him it's kind of like pocket change just because of the level of his wealth. He's not saying that to brag, but he's saying that because of his income, this is not a significant amount of money for him. It's not something that it would be a problem for him to risk.
Mm.
And so the question there more broadly is, does amounts of money that we spend on games of chance, does that depend on our income, or does it depend particularly how much money that is? Because there's some evangelicals that will say, you know, it's okay to spend a few dollars on a maybe a poker game at your house with some friends, because it's you know, it's not anything more than you might just give to somebody or spend on a Coke or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's another question that comes into it.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to apparently speak to the moderation, I think, of the issue, you know. whether this is discretionary, quote unquote, discretionary income, and therefore, you know, don't worry about the money that's being spent there. I think when he introduces the money part of it, it doesn't really help his argument a whole lot. I think that it kind of now raises another question about this whole idea of, you know, kind of Christian celebrity and, you know, the money that is being made basically off the selling of goods to Christians. So I think it actually opens up another door. Twitter is aflame this morning with reports about Stephen Furtick, I guess it is, from Charlotte, you know, because it was just discovered that he's building this, what appears to be a very elaborate house just outside of Charlotte, worth about, according to one account there, that the land was worth $1.6 million. I think it was 16 or 18,000 square foot house, 7.5 bathrooms, and this type of stuff. And so it just raises this idea of the, you know, the opulent Christian, and especially, you know, folks like this that are now Christian celebrities. And here we go again, you know, with this flaunting of this opulence, where he speaks about $8,000 as being pocket change. Well, there's a lot of people listening in our listening audience that $8,000 would provide the means to send their child to Christian school. And so, you know, or something even more dramatic in their life. And so I thought that where he starts trying to justify the money spent part of it, he kind of, for me, opens up even more questions as to what are you doing. You know, I got a lot to say on this issue that I'm going to save to the second half of the program today, but it just opens up that issue for me. Let's talk about some of the other elements here. You know, he talks about that he's just a recreational player. Another element involved in the entire gambling issue here that he seems to recognize in bringing this up, where he says he's just a recreational player, is that there's been a lot of people that have been involved in gambling that can't control themselves. You know, there's a lot of people that have gambled their life savings away, and that this is an industry that is really doesn't have a good track record that way. So speak to us a little bit about what he said related to that issue.
Yeah, I asked him for some specifics on, you know, how often he plays and how much he typically spends. And he said he didn't want to get into specifics because he thought his own practice might not be relevant to others who might have a lower income or who might have a, you know, a particular problem with gambling, which, you know, I would assume that he means an addiction, which there is a big problem with that among people who gamble, who are addicted to it and can't stop spending and have caused real financial havoc to their lives and to their families' lives. Evangelicals in the U.S. have had a pretty long history of opposing gambling, partly for that reason, is just because of how it has ruined so many people's lives. There's a group, I think it's run by the federal government, that is called the National Council on Problem Gambling. And they estimate that 2 to 3% of U.S. adults are what they call problem gamblers, who have habits of gambling that are disrupting their lives or causing financial issues or loss of sleep. And so evangelicals have had a long history of opposing gambling, and even last year, the National Association of Evangelicals and the Southern Baptist Convention opposed a bill that would have expanded online poker. Mm-hmm. And so if there is a small movement of evangelicals who are saying it's okay to play poker, it certainly seems to go against the larger current of what we've seen in America over the last century, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of other issues here. One that you just addressed with whether or not there is a biblical prohibition against playing poker. You point out in the article here that One of the folks there says Moody is aware that Jerry Jenkins participates in poker, and then they add after that, which is not prohibited in Scripture. Well, the word poker is not going to be found there in Scripture, but I think that the objection from the evangelical community would be one that you pointed out, you know, the repercussions of it in so many people's lives. But I think even beyond that, the general tenor and teaching of the Word of God, not to get gain in this way, the entire book of Proverbs, you know, would speak against this, about trusting in God and leaning upon Him, and not trying to be greedy of gain or try to get wealth in these kind of get with rich quick type of schemes. You know, a dollar and a dream. Christians are not, you know, to be those that are advocating the lottery type of approach or games of chance. We don't believe in luck. We believe in the providence of God, that He is able to provide us with the things that we need in our life. And we shouldn't try to circumvent that by playing games of chance. And so I think that, you know, the Moody answer here is problematic as well, especially when we're talking about a school that is supposed to be teaching young people. It's a biblical institute. They should understand more of the depth of this throughout the Scripture, what the teaching is concerning this. And then secondly, the other issue is that he is leading. He's on the board there. He's supposed to be set to a little bit higher standard, right? I mean, it's in the category, along with being a preacher, that that you're under greater scrutiny. There's certain things you're not going to be able to, you know, flaunt your liberty about because you are leading other people. And in this case, he's leading young people who are susceptible to this type of thing taking place. So isn't he held to, or shouldn't he be held to a higher standard?
You know, he mentioned that the trustees are supposed to have the character qualifications of an elder, as listed in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously they would conclude that playing tournament poker would not be a problem for somebody who's a pastor. Now, the answer that they gave, that Moody gave, is a little bit tricky because, you know, they say that poker is not forbidden in the Bible. And, you know, like you said, technically that's true. The word doesn't occur. And also, the other aspect of it is that, you know, as a card game itself, I don't think most of us would say that poker is sinful because, you know, it's not necessary to play with money,
right?
If you're just playing it as a game. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to go beyond what the Bible says, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it seems to me the problem comes in when, you know, you have this these high-stakes buy-in that's attached to it, or the whole scenario of winning somebody else's money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it becomes problematic. And Moody didn't comment or said they didn't have any sort of policy that would clarify whether they consider poker to be quote-unquote gambling. So I specifically asked them that question, and they said they don't have any policy that would answer that.
Hmm. And I would just remind folks, you know, when they say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't speak about it, as we just mentioned, hey, the Bible doesn't mention the word Trinity either, but we deduce from all of the Scriptures the Trinitarian theology that we find in the Word of God. So just because a word is not mentioned in the Bible doesn't mean either for or against, we need to be for or against it, just because the lack of the mention of a specific word. The principle is what we're looking at, and is the principle of the people of God gambling, is that something that we find in the Word of God? You know, do we find it in a positive light or in a negative light? For instance, the only record of gambling that comes to my mind immediately when I think of this is they gambled for Christ's garments, you know, when he was upon the cross. They threw dice for his garments. I mean, do we want to be involved in an activity such as that, you know, that took the one earthly possession of the Lord Jesus Christ? We want to say, oh, it's good for Christians now to, that has such a good legacy associated with it. This is something that we want to be associated with. I just my take on it. Like I said, I'm going to talk a lot about it on the second half of the program, but it just seems to be very a poor representation. It's not helpful at all to the people that he is leading. I think it's signs of the times in which we live that yet another activity is being participated at this level with this type of an individual. And I'm just very, I think it's disturbing to see him involved in this. And I would imagine that somewhere along the line it's going to actually involve he's going to be removed from the board there, I think is what is probably going to take place. I kind of hope that that's the case, if he's not apologetic at all about being involved in it. And I hope that Moody, this is my own two cents, I'm not reading into saying that Daniel believes this or is pushing for this, but I just think that that would be the right thing to do. If he is unwilling to do that, that they need to set a higher standard for the young men and women that they're leading there in Moody Bible Institute, and I think that that would be the right thing to do. And I'll make my case for that in just a few moments. Daniel, anything else about this article that we really need to, you know, keep in perspective as we think through this?
You know, as a pastor, I'd be curious about your opinion, because this is still something I'm thinking through myself, is, you know, what about the question of, you know, as a Christian, if I were to play a friendly game of poker with my friends at my house,
yeah,
and I wanted to throw $2 in the pot,
yeah,
do you think that's a problem morally because of just the principle behind it?
Yeah.
Or is that okay just as a friendly form of entertainment?
Well, I did a broadcast with, why is his name, Phil Johnson from Grace to You Ministry. He's actually written a couple of articles many years ago, actually, about the subject of gambling. And so I had him on the broadcast. So if you want to listen to that that full broadcast where we dealt with some of the scripture verses involved in it, anybody can go out to sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth and type in either Phil Johnson, or I think you could type in gambling and it would bring it up as well. So it'll be, I think I may have titled it God and Gambling or something along that line. So you can listen to that. But generally speaking, I think where I would go with this is that we're asking the wrong question. You know, the question that seems to get asked in these types of situations is, can I still be a Christian and then do these types of activities? That's the way the question is more most of the time posed. And I think that that is absolutely the wrong way to approach these questions. I think we should approach them this way. We should say, because I am a Christian and I am seeking the glory of God in my life and everything that I'm involved in, even so far as the scripture says, whether therefore you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. The question is this: how does gambling bring glory to God in my life? How does it better increase my sanctification or help me to magnify Christ in my life? And if we start with the question that way, rather than how close can I get to the line and still be saved, then I think we'll come out with a completely different answer in the end. So there's where I would, if somebody came to me in a pastoral situation in the church and said, you know, I'm gambling, what do you think about me gambling? I would say that's where I would start the conversation. Second thing is, I think in our particular day and age, which I think we should bring this into the discussion, I mean, we have a huge problem today with young men and women not growing up and fooling around in adolescent activities. I mean, it is absolutely huge problem that we have today in our society. And for the leaders then to be encouraging them in any sort of frivolous activity like this, I think really just lacks a sobriety that is needed today from our leadership and a real call to diligence in the things of God. The last thing that we need is for these young people that are being told this by the world, all of this adolescent activity, for us now to be advocating that they get involved in another game. I think that's the last thing that they need. They need something completely different. So there would be my take, and that's what I'm going to talk about on the second half, Daniel. Daniel, I appreciate your spirit here, and you don't want a gotcha moment here. I don't want that either, but I want to talk about just what is needed, I think, in evangelicalism today. And I think the last thing we need is preachers playing poker as part of the mix of what the church is really desperately in need of today. Thanks so much, Daniel. Really appreciate you writing this article and joining us today on the program. We appreciate all the work that you guys do there at World Magazine.
Yep, you're welcome.
Okay. That was Daniel James Devine. You can read his article. Go on out to www.worldmag.com. Hey, by the way, if you're not getting World Mag, they're actually promoting, I think, a three-month free subscription. And when they say free, they mean free. They don't mean that, hey, the subscription is going to keep coming until you cancel it and that type of thing. They're not even going to ask you for a credit card or anything like that. You're going to get it for free. Check it out when you go out there on worldmag.com, www.worldmag.com. Like I said, when we come back, I want to talk about this issue. I'm going to title it this, Playing Games with God. You know, is that really what we need in our day and age today? Do we need evangelical leaders now to be encouraging young people that are in the faith to be out there, you know, playing games with God and this type of thing? I don't think so. I think we need something completely different. I'll talk a little bit about it when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Why is New York City mayoral hopeful Bill de Blasio promising Muslims that if he's elected, they'll no longer be under surveillance? On the next Janet Mefford Show, I'll get some thoughts from Pamela Geller, Executive Director of the American Freedom Defense Initiative. And we're kicking off a new weekly series on the cults. And Bill McKeever from Mormonism Research Ministry will join me to talk about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. All next time, join us for the Janet Mefford Show.
This afternoon from 3 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hillsong United is coming to Greenville. Hillsong United, Welcome Zion Tour. Tuesday night, November 19th at the Philo Center, including new music from their hit new album, Zion. Tickets for Hillsong United, Welcome Zion, are available now online at hisradio.com. Hillsong United. You can find out more when you click box office at hisradio.com.
My name is Kirk Cameron, and together with Warren Barfield, we are putting on an incredible event that is designed to fireproof marriages. Maybe you saw the movie Fireproof. Maybe that resonated in your heart and in the heart of your church and your community. Well, this event, in essence, takes the movie and turns it into a live experience. We want to pull down as many barriers and walls that would separate us from coming together around the gospel for the sake of building up our marriages and our families. If we're concerned about the future of the church, we've got to heal the family, and it's got to be done in a gospel-centered way. That's what Love Worth Fighting For is all about.
Feed your faith at the Love Worth Fighting For event featuring Kirk Cameron, Sunday, November 17th at 4 p.m. at Brushy Creek Baptist Church, Easley, South Carolina. Sponsored by Crown Financial. Tickets at feedyourfaith.org or at brushycreekchurch.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We were talking previously with Daniel James Devine about his article called Not Bluffing, and that article was dealing with the subject of Jerry Jenkins, who is playing tournament poker. And Jerry is not only a best-selling author and co-author of a number of books, I think 180 books is somewhere where we're talking 70 million copies of one of his book has been sold, but he's also helped out other ministries as well, such as Billy Graham's ministry, Bill Gaither, Luis Palau, and a number of others. But he's also the vice president of publishing, or he was the former vice president of publishing for Moody Bible Institute, and he now is actually a chairman of the school's board of trustees. And so we're asking, Is this right for Christians to be gambling in general? Is it right then for, more specifically, for Jerry Jenkins in this particular role, for him to be gambling as well, and so forth? And so I was looking out on World Magazine's page on that and just looking at some of the comments that came in underneath there. But it says, one person, Cheryl, says, I find this to be deeply disappointing. Another one, Robert out there, says, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Whether you be Jeroboam or Solomon. Another one, Dennis out there, says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so, you know, the type of comments that are coming out there, I think, are a lot of people who are not happy with what they see here. They don't feel that this is really an activity that, you know, a Christian and specifically a Christian leader should be involved in, that this is something that is, you know, just out of touch with what we should see among people of God. Hey, I've been talking about this subject a little bit. I mentioned that I was preaching recently through Hebrews, and in Hebrews chapter 5, we're in Hebrews chapter 8 starting this week, but I've been doing a study and all throughout Hebrews, and this subject, that the broader subject here, I think came up in the teaching of Hebrews as well. And what I'm referring to there is that the subject came up in the sense that the writer to the book of Hebrews says that he wants to say something to the people of God. He wants to tell them about Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is this fellow that is mentioned in Hebrew, way back in Genesis chapter 14, 13 or 14. And then he's mentioned again in Psalm 110. And then he's brought up again a third time in the book of Hebrews, beginning in Hebrews chapter 5, 6, 7, full treatment of him in chapter 7. And there's these things, there's these elements associated with the priesthood of Melchizedek that the apostle, I believe the apostle Paul speaking, wants to reveal and wants to talk to the Christians there at Jerusalem, the Hebrew Christians, to talk to them about these things. And yet, something prevents him from doing so. He finds that there is something going on. He has a difficulty of speaking to them about what needs to be said. And so when we look at the narrative here, he starts here in verse 11. He mentions Melchizedek in verse 10. He says, Melchizedek called of God, talking about Christ, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then he says this. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as need milk and not strong meat. For every one of you that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of their use of their senses exercised to discern both between good and evil. And so, you know, he chides the people of God here, saying to them that, you know, I want to tell you these deeper things of Christ. I want to tell you about these really great principles that are laid down here in the picture of Melchizedek. And yet I can't do it because you people are babies, spiritual babies. You haven't grown up in the things of God. Now, let's relate this to the subject that we were talking about. And I mentioned that the very last thing that we need today among the people of God is for leaders in the church to be encouraging them to act more like babies in the church. You know, I've done a number of programs about this. I did one with Diana West about her book, that was speaking about the death of the grown-up was the title of her book. And it was talking about this perpetual adolescence that we see in our society today. And Diana West, you know, comes from the perspective of that this is extremely damaging to the country. And she actually brings out in that book that from a military standpoint, that we don't have young men that are prepared to take on the responsibilities that are necessary in order to be those that can defend this country, that they don't have the skills or the attitude even that was once there, like in The Greatest Generation. I just went this past weekend, actually on Friday, over to the downtown Greenville airport, and I was there looking at some of the warbirds that were there. They had a P-51 aircraft over there, a fighter plane that was over at that location. Excuse me for a second. And over there at that location, that P-51, they also had a B-17 bomber that was over there, Flying Fortress. They had a B-24 Liberator over there. I mean, these were the stalwarts of the fighting forces during World War II, and just had a great time. Took my grandson over there. My grandson has taken an interest, 7 years old, just turned 7 years old. He, on his own volition, he was going to the school, Christian school library, and he was taking out books about Pearl Harbor and about D-Day and about the Battle of Midway. Specifically, he's really infatuated with the Battle of Midway and all that took place there. So these are terms that are and names that are floating around the house as we're reading. Admiral Yamagata, I can't even pronounce them correctly, right? But he is quoting these things and saying these things as we're going around. He's looking at these admirals, and he was laughing the other day, and as the battle was taking place, he goes, "Pops, look at the Japanese commander of one of the ships actually turned his ship into the other ship during the Battle of Midway." And he was saying, why would you do that? Why would you turn in your own ship? And I was explaining to him about the fog of war and these types of things. But our young people today, they don't have these this same type of mentality. I've actually counseled with people who are playing video games into their 30s, late 30s, and that this was going to be a problem in the marriage, that money and time was being wasted on playing games. We have this propensity today in our modern generation of young people not to take things as seriously as they ought to. I don't know what we would, we call them just Generation X or Generation Y, the me generation and these types of things. I think it's significant that during our day and age, the thing that was put on Time magazine, they select the person of the year and these types of things. At one point, they actually put a mirror on the front, and it was designed that you are the person of the year because YouTube was big that year. And so, look at what is being portrayed there. Just a lot of frivolous activities that are out there. Do I need to give you examples of these things? Just look on YouTube and you'll just see, things that are popular was this Gangnam style thing with this nonsense of this just being idiots, out there, just doing the most frivolous activity possible. And this is what receives all the hits on YouTube. Is that really what we want to promote among our young people? Listen, we need people like the children of Issachar that we read about in Chronicles, men of understanding who knew what Israel needed to do. That's what we're looking for in leadership. We don't need preachers advocating young people to get involved in poker, really. We need diligence being talked about in the church today. Not a lack of diligence, not, hey, let me tell you about the next frivolous activity that you can get involved in. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we need to be involved in diligence. Give all diligence to these things, he said. When was the last time that you've heard one of these preachers, these types of preachers that we're talking about today, talk about diligence from the pulpit, about giving your all to something, about committing your all to the Lord Jesus Christ? In a day and age where there is so little about self-denial, where there is so little about self-control in our society in general, if there was one banner that could be put over our entire society today, it's the lack of self-control. And yet we have evangelical leaders that are demonstrating a lack of self-control. Hey, I've got liberty to play poker, and I've got indiscretion. You know, I got funds. I can blow $8,000 on something like this. It's no big deal. Really, is that the type of leadership that we need today in evangelical circles? I don't think so. I think it's a disgrace, and I think that we need to say, hey, we can do better than this. We need people that are people of understanding. We need to be calling our young people to commit themselves to Christ and not these frivolous activities. If you got time like this to waste on your hands, it's because you don't understand anything about the mission that has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me a call. I'll give him something to do. If he doesn't have anything to do, I can give him a list on there. And this is exactly what we find in the book of Hebrews. He's actually saying that we have difficulty in speaking to you about the things of God because these things are hard to utter, not because he can't articulate them, not because he doesn't want to talk to them about the deeper things of God. The problem was them and their casual attitude towards Christianity and the light way that they had approached it. They were not spiritually ready to handle the deeper things of God. And I think this is appropriate, and this is very relevant to what we find today. The point that the apostle is making here is that he would like to explain to them more the glorious elements of Christ and his priesthood, but he is prevented from doing so because these things were so unpalatable to their hearers. You know, these same young people that would be caught up in these things, you would say to them, you know, they would be the same people to say, well, the sermons are too long. You know, I don't want to sit there for an hour and just hear about Melchizedek, some figure from the Old Testament. You know, we got to make church more relevant to the people today. And yet, they don't have any problem, you know, spending hours playing poker. So it's unpalatable to them because their mind and their heart is not set on heavenly things. Isn't this what it's speaking about, you know, that these are earthly activities that they're being involved in? They should be repudiating these things rather than encouraging people to be involved in them. You know, they should be forsaking these things rather than telling the people that this is something that they should be embracing, that it's okay for them to be involved in that, and making cases for how they can get involved in this. That's why I said earlier on, if you ask the question, what can I do and still be a Christian, that's exactly the wrong question to be asking. If your heart is such as you want to know how close can you get to the line of worldliness without going over, without committing the unpardonable sin, and then not being able to have eternal life, it should reveal to you something about where your own heart is at. Your own heart is not right with God. That's exactly the wrong question. You should be asking, what other activity can I get involved in that is going to make me a greater witness for Jesus Christ? What else can I do in the kingdom of God in order to make his name more famous, to make him more, to magnify the name of God in the earth? Those are questions we should be asking. What can I do in my life that'll make me more holy in the things of God and help me to mortify sin greater in my life? Let me tell you, poker is not that activity. Poker is not the activity that is going to bring you closer to Christ and help you to more and more die to sin in your life. And in anybody who feels that poker is that activity, call me. I'll be glad to talk you through this and to counsel with you about what the Scripture actually teaches. And so this is not that hard of a question for us. And the fact that we wrestle with this at all is again revealing to us the state of evangelicalism today. We are very far from God. The leaders that we have are the wrong leaders, or at least the leaders taking us in the wrong path as to what we should be doing in this life. I don't care if Jerry Jenkins has written 1,000 books. We should be taking everything that he says back to the Word of God, to the scrutiny of the Word of God. And I think that, you know, Moody is sending exactly the wrong. It tells me right away, I don't want my young people going to Moody Bible Institute. If this is the type of person that they have and the type of activity that they can condone on their board among their leaders that are supposed to be more like elders, if this is the type of activity that they're involved in, this right away tells me, Moody, you got a huge problem with what's going on there. And if that problem is revealed to us at the top, you don't think that's going to come down into the teaching that is going to be given to the students? Of course it is. That is definitely going to be there in the way the things that are being taught. The apostle goes on here to say that he can't express these things because you are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing is descriptive of the state of mind. It's a state of mind where it doesn't produce any lasting, the preaching of the God's word doesn't produce any lasting impression upon the mind. That it's a state of mind that when the things that are mentioned to them are not really understood, they're not really giving the amount of attention to the things of God that they actually deserve. And that's what this is revealing to us when we see people interested in playing poker. And we say that they're dull of hearing about the things of God. The deeper things of God are not being given the weight that they deserve. They should have a higher weight given to them in their soul. And so the Greek word where it speaks about being dull of hearing is actually the word for no and the word for push. It literally means this, no push is what it's talking about. It's actually translated slothful in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 12. It is dullness as opposed to diligence. That's the idea. Diligence means to make an effort to be attentive and persistent and thus to persevere in the things of God. We were just looking at Pilgrim's Progress the other day in our Sunday school class, and after Pilgrim goes through the gate and he's then among the people of God, he finds three people that are laying on the side of the road, and they are in chains on the side of the road. And this is post-salvation. And he finds three of these people on the side, and one is slothful, and I forget the name of the other two that are there, but they're all pictures of those who are not taking the things of God very seriously. And he tries to stir them and wake them up, and he says, be vigilant, be vigilant, be diligent. Your adversary, the devil, is roaming about, and he tries to call them to greater diligence in these things. They won't let me sleep, they say. Don't wake me. I'm too comfortable here in what I'm doing. Well, isn't that what the Christian is supposed to be involved in? Shaking people to greater diligence, calling for them not to be preoccupied with lesser things of this world, but to be moving on in the things of God. Be vigilant, be diligent in the things of God. Watch very carefully that you don't slip back into the things of the world and bring a poor testimony to Christ, or possibly even make shipwreck of your own life, give evidence that you were never really saved at all. We need to really think carefully about what we're involved in this world. We need to think, how are these things actually helping us in our progress of the things of God? Because that is what God has called us to do. That's our ultimate goal, to bring glory and honor to the name of our Most High God. Well, I hope that this has helped you a little bit to concentrate and to decipher and to really discern about this issue. Take things back to the Word of God. I think we can do better than advocating that people be playing poker today, Christians, and we can do much better than that in the things of God. And let me tell you that on tomorrow's broadcast, I'll be joined by David Murray. David is going to be here with us talking about Jesus in all the Scriptures. We'll be looking on every page. Jesus on every page, that's his book. And so we'll be looking at that. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and now also on FM 92.9.